excuse me. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My friends, we continue in our Advent journey. And even as we await our Lord's coming with great anticipation, he comes to us this morning by his word and by his son's body and blood. This is cause to celebrate. This is time to worship. Let's begin this morning by raising our voices in song, shall we? I invite you to rise. Even as we gather in anticipation of our Lord's coming, we gather together this morning in worship. We begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God will.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say for yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of our Lord. We join together now in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And together we confess, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Please be seated.
Thank you.
Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist told the people to turn from their wicked ways, to make confession of their sins, and to turn to God. I guess you could say that John's message was urgent. There was really no time to waste. God incarnate had come down to earth. He now walked among his people. And being given the privilege to announce his long-awaited arrival, we can share in John's excitement when he pointed out Jesus and declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The people were drawn to John's strong message. The residents of Jerusalem and Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. John's powerful message had great influence. John's powerful message would also draw some strong opposition as well. But God had prepared John for what was coming his way. As soon as John saw the Sadducees and the Pharisees approaching, he welcomed them with this greeting: "You brood of vipers." Wow. The snake has been a symbol of evil from the day of mankind's fall. So we see that John compares these religious leaders to the devil's offspring. That was a bold statement. That was a dangerous statement as well. You see, the Sadducees and the Pharisees have been long looked to as the pillars of the community. They had long been recognized as the voice of authority among the Israelites. But John the Baptist could see right through their charade. John knew that the blood descendants of Abraham believed themselves entitled to an honored and special place in God's kingdom. So they openly bragged of their heritage. They touted themselves as the steward of Moses' law, as well as their many man-made traditions. These men were full only of themselves. They were legends in their own minds. John the Baptist took one look at them, full of self-righteousness, and publicly declared that God is able to raise up from these stones children for Abraham. The leaders of Israel were unfit for command. Their proud lineage did them no favors. John saw who they were, and he called them out for who they were. And God knew as well. Their outward piety, it was play acting. The Pharisees cared not for the people whom God had placed under their care. These men were without compassion. The Pharisees and Sadducees didn't get it. The Pharisees and Sadducees did not want to get it. They cherished their meaningless traditions above all else, and they would not let them go. That's them. What about you? What role does tradition play in your lives? Do you cling to certain things that you do simply because that's the way you've always done them? Have you ever examined why you do those things? Ask yourself, do my traditions serve a good purpose? Someone might ask, how can you know? Well, do your traditions agree with the Word of God? Does your tradition have any biblical basis? How about this? Has tradition kept you from honoring God, from receiving those blessings which God wants to give you? Has tradition kept you from receiving His gifts of forgiveness, of life and salvation? My dear faithful friends, you are here this morning, so ask yourself, have you come prepared to receive His gifts? Or are you simply going through the motions? The answer to that question may very well determine your eternal destination. Look at the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They kept up a good front. An admiring public looked upon them with the greatest of admiration. These leaders were honored for their great religiosity. I can't believe I said that word right. But when God looked upon them, what did He see? He saw hearts that were hardened, that were cold and full of self-righteousness. Those men wanted nothing more than the favor of other men. It's worth asking, what do you want? Are you a child of Abraham?
or a child of Satan? That's sure a hard question, isn't it? Well, here's another. In today's text, John compares us to trees. What kind of tree are you? Are you producing the good fruit that is enabled by a genuinely repentant heart and nourished by God's word and sacrament? Do your words and deeds give glory to God? Here in his house, in your homes, and out there in the public square. My friends, that's completely impossible if you are not properly nourished. For if you are poorly nourished, it's not because God withholds himself from you. In truth, you can only withhold yourself from receiving what God has prepared for you for your salvation. We must remember that John says God's axe is already at the root of the tree. And every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Excuse me. You know, the fire of which John speaks is never extinguished. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, those who are producing the good fruits of faith will be gathered up to him. And those who have rejected God's gracious invitation will be reduced to kindling. In fact, they will be fuel for the unquenchable fire of hell, from which there is no relief or escape. Now, this might seem like a silly question, but what is better? Those honored traditions that keep you from experiencing God's grace and mercy? Or the promise of eternal life for which the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for you? Do you come here to go through the motions? Or have you come to receive the richest of God's blessings? Now perhaps someone's thinking, wow, Pastor, that's pretty heavy. Why such hard questions? The answer's easy. It's Advent, and Christ is coming. God's word is not only intended for the lost souls out there who find their comfort in this world's pleasurable traditions. No. Through his servant John, God speaks to those who grieve of their sin and crave for the comfort of his forgiveness. John's words were not only meant to call hardened souls to repentance, but also to give hope to those who look to him as we struggle under the weight of sin in a fallen world. Because that, my friends, is what the children of Abraham do. They turn to God. They cry out to him. And they trust in his promise to declare us righteous through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I am pleased to announce that is exactly what God does for his children. He makes us his own for the sake of his Son, who would suffer and die to pay for our sins, and who rose from the dead to make us God's children, here in time and there in eternity, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God takes lifeless stones like me and you and turns us into living stones who are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as God brings lifeless stones to life in Christ, those things that once seemed so repetitious to us, become treasured traditions by which God fills us up with his gifts of forgiveness and life and salvation. Holy baptism becomes an encounter with God through which the Holy Spirit comes to us in water and the word to bring our stony hearts to life. The words that are read from the lectern and proclaimed from this pulpit become those powerful words that the Holy Spirit uses to create and to sustain life in us. We, as living stones. And of course, the bread and the wine on the altar become our encounter with our cornerstone, our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ, as we receive to ourselves his very flesh and blood under the elements of bread and wine. The activities that seem so old and routine are, in fact, the institutions by which Christ breathes life into us and makes us a part of his house here today and of that house in which we will one day dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For all this, we give thanks. For that strong message which John proclaimed, and for the one whom John proclaimed, the Messiah who took every sin upon himself, who carried them to the cross, who died to pay sin's penalty for all. We give thanks to the God who redeemed us through his Son and makes us his own. We give thanks to God who gives life to the lifeless through his Spirit, who has given to us a living faith, which believes and bears that good fruit which is pleasing to him. And finally, my friends, we give thanks to God, the incarnate God, who came in the flesh and is coming again to gather up the children of Abraham, God's children, you and me, into his kingdom for all eternity. And just as he will come again in future clouds of glory, we give thanks to God who comes to us this day and nourishes us. And so, my friends, as we gratefully receive his gifts today, we continue to pray, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.